strongly about the way that the young girls are in the Christian homes and stuff are starting to dress, and the way that they have dropped their standards and the things that they will drop to in order to be themselves, as they call it. And so I decided sometimes we as girls just don't realize quite how ridiculous we are in our emotions and how we feel and stuff. So I went out and bought a few different sets of clothes to from Goodwill. I do not own clothes as I am wearing for this occasion, simply to give an example of how we ought to feel when we see a Christian dressed this way. And I hope every one of you felt shocked to see me come in dressed like this. And I'm going to go through, the name of my message is going to be How a Young Christian Girl Should Act. And I want to go through actions, dress, lifestyle, and so on. And it's going to involve a number of different things. And so, I guess to start off with, I'm going to make believe that I'm a girl, and I got up this morning. I went and I looked in the mirror, dressed in my good, modest clothes, and I looked and I said, oh, I feel so fat. That just is not me. I look huge and I am so ugly and my skirt makes me look so fat. The Bible doesn't say pants are wrong in of themselves, because in Deuteronomy 22:5 it talks about the fact that wearing a man's garment is an abomination. But we do know that that was the Old Testament and has been put aside, and so therefore it's not an abomination for us to put on a man's garment. But there are other reasons that Christian girls and principles they should be able to hold to keep them from that. And one of the excuses that I hear all the time from different people and the way they dress is, that's not me. To wear a skirt that makes me look big and bulky, or to wear a shirt that is loose enough to conceal what should be there for my husband, is just, it's not me. I feel stuffed in a box. And in Galatians 5:16, it talks about the spirit warring against the flesh. I'm going to turn there quickly, and how every one of us girls has to fight with that. Every single one of us girls has an inward natural tendency to want to be beautiful, to want to, what we think, we want to be loved. We want the men to look at us and think we're beautiful. Every single girl is born with a natural desire. And something that we have to understand is the fact that, as it says in Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things as ye would. So we get up and we feel like, this isn't me. We have to remember that me is the flesh, and we don't want to be me. We want to walk in the Spirit, and we want to do what the Bible tells us to do. Not because it's not what we feel like, not because it's not me, because it makes me look fat, because I can work easier in it. You know, there are so many excuses that people can use to not dress modestly. And that's just one aspect of how a young Christian girl should act, is dress. But we're going to go through some of this. And I guess one of the main reasons that a girl is supposed to dress modestly is because she is supposed to conceal her body so that the men don't look at her and want her body. Something that I feel that girls so often confuse is, they so badly want to dress so as to show their bodies because it gives them attention. And they think it's love. They think it's what they're after. They so badly want a guy to look at them and think they're gorgeous that they're willing to lower themselves to do almost anything to feel that acceptance with the guys. And what they don't understand is that they're causing themselves just massive problems. And many of us, being raised in Christian homes and being very sheltered, don't have any understanding of that. and we allow our standards to slip and slip and slip and slip, going after that feeling, because for some reason, as we're growing up, we do not fill those desires inside with Christ, and we don't allow ourselves to grow and to feel. Not okay, every girl should have the desire for a man to love them, but it should not overcome her desire so strongly that she forgets about what God told her to do in the Bible in order to get that. And I have struggled and struggled with these things, you know, again and again, and I think it was probably, I don't remember, somewhere around 5 years ago where I believe that God gave me a complete victory over a desire to dress immodestly, to be immodest, or anything of the sort. And it took a few guys that gave me some wrong attention for me to realize that that wasn't what I wanted. It so was not what I wanted. I have a husband who loves me very much, and there's still sometimes something in a girl, even if they feel loved, that they still want all that extra attention. And I'll never forget one of the times that turned me around the most was I was working at the store, and I had a skirt with a slit on it. I don't remember exactly. It was somewhere up here. And I squatted down, and so my leg came out the slit of my skirt, because my skirt wasn't wide enough to contain my legs, you know, when you squat, when you sit. And a guy came up and grabbed my leg sticking out from my skirt. And I reached up and swatted him, like, you know, what are you doing? Get out of here. And he said, well, what else is that slit there for except to tempt the guys? What else are you doing except saying, look at my leg, look at my leg? And it convicted me to the heart, and I went home and I changed my clothes and totally changed what I had in my wardrobe and decided I wouldn't try it again. There are so many things that Christians do to try to wiggle out of dressing modestly. And the only thing I can say is, if your heart is in the right place, if you love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it's not going to be a struggle for you. But when you fight, the spirit and the flesh are always going to war against each other. And unless the flesh is crucified, there is going to be a battle. And we are going to, unless we can crucify that feeling, the feeling might come up, but it is our, what do I want to say? Well, I guess the fruit of this, one of the fruits of the spirit would be the fact that we'd be walking in the flesh, I mean in the spirit. So if we are having severe trouble with fighting with the flesh, we should check and see where we're standing in our stand with God and see if our hearts are right and see if we are where we're supposed to be. Another thing that it's just very, very difficult to me to see young people lower their standards and to see their dresses go up and to see their skirts get tighter and to see their necklines go lower, because maybe where they're going, they're walking a line and they are on the very edge of what you would, you know, it would be able to call dressing modestly as a Christian, and yet they're walking a line that is so easy for them to take one step down and all of their principles will be gone. Whereas if you hold the standard higher, you have a much longer ways to go to get down here, to hold yourself at a safe distance, so it's not very easy for you to fall over the edge. And so that's one reason it's very hard for me to see girls, because it's little by little, a little thing here, a little thing there, the me thing. I don't feel like myself. I don't think those clothes make me look like me. It's all about me. That would be one aspect of the flesh, and another would be the aspect of wanting to attract attention, whether from men or boys. Another aspect would be the envious feeling of that is so common to girls. Let's read through the rest of this here. At 18 it says, "But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So in there we have listed a whole list of things that are called the works of the flesh, things that show that the flesh is coming out in us, and if we do these things, we're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And one of those things is envyings. For some reason, it is just part of a girl's nature. I don't know. And I don't know what to say except that this is, I'm going to be absolutely honest with you and tell you the deepest parts of my own heart from a girl's perspective. And I want every one of you guys to be totally open and honest and look deep down inside and don't try to cover it up and say, well, I'm not like that. I don't have feelings like that. I don't have thoughts like that. Because as girls, for some reason, we have these inborn feelings. And we have to fight against them. They're the works of the flesh, and they are something that is just there that we have to fight against. We look at a girl and think, oh my, well, she looks so thin and so beautiful, and me in my yucky, bulky, baggy clothes, I just look so bleh, and I need to change. I mean, I don't want all the guys looking at that girl. You see a girl getting a bunch of guy attention, and you think inside, why is she getting all the attention? You know, I want a guy. I need a guy. And so then you decide inside, what can I do to get that attention? And you look at the girl that's getting the attention. You say, I see. That's how she does it. One thing that I need to do, I need to dress different. And some of these things you might not think through logically in your mind, but it's a subconscious feeling that you do without even realizing it. So then you say, okay, so I need to dress down. So I need to show how thin I am. I need to show what nice legs I have. Or I need to let them see some skin. Or I need to let them show what a big chest I have. Or I need them to see my shapely butt. So you go put on a pair of jeans because you have, in your bulky skirt, you can't see it very, very well. And you just think, I mean, okay, guys obviously think that's cute. So then if I go put on a pair of jeans, then they're going to better see my form and they're going to look at me. And then if they look at me, they'll realize I'm here and pay me some attention. If I wear a shirt that's beautiful and has lace on it, or if I wear a necklace, it's going to draw attention to my chest. I know that men like chests. So if I do that, then they'll look at me. And if they look long enough, they'll realize I'm here and pay me some attention. And what you don't realize is that every time that a girl compromises in any circumstance, even if a girl is not compromising, I should say, because any time that a girl gets that kind of attention, she doesn't want it, and she doesn't realize it. I did a whole bunch of research on the internet, just reading tons of different sites, like counsel sites and how to get a guy sites, and they had so much information on, are you looking for a short-term relationship, just like a date, or are you looking for a long-term relationship that might end in marriage? And they gave you two, every single place gives you two different ways to attract the men, okay? So under the ways to get a date, to spend a night with a guy, or simply just to have a guy, so you can say you have a guy, or if you want, they say if you want to attract a flock of men, they tell you to put on a pair of tight pants and to wear high heels, and a revealing shirt. And every single site that tells you if you're looking for a husband, if you're looking for a long-term man, they tell you, let's see, make sure that you don't do anything that says you're looking just for sex. Make sure you don't do anything. So they tell you, don't wear anything too tight, don't wear anything revealing, and don't wear anything that is going to make him want to touch you. Like they said, don't wear anything that's too soft that will allure him to want to touch you. Don't wear high heels because they give guys the idea that you're just after them just because they're a guy, not that you're looking for marriage or for a real relationship. So these worldly men who are giving all this advice are telling the girls, if you want a guy for a long-term relationship, for marriage, take off the clothes that show off your body, because a guy is going to be attracted, that is attracted to you by your body, is not going to stick with you. He's going to love you for your body. And when he learns what the real inside is, there's nothing lasting there. There's just nothing there. He was there because you made him feel fiery about you. And that's the only reason you have him. And if you're looking for a guy for marriage, these guys are telling you, cover up, dress yourself properly. They told you not to wear a necklace so that they wouldn't think you were drawing attention to your chest. Don't put long dangly earrings on. Take the makeup off your face. I was planning to print out a number of these lists, and I had them all on the computer, and I forgot to print them all before I came so I could show you guys the actual real papers of all these examples that these guys are giving these non-Christian girls of how to get a husband. And I thought it was very interesting, because sometimes the world is wiser than the church. These guys know all these things from experience, from watching people happen, and from counseling guys and girls and all this kind of stuff. And yet the Christian girls are pulling and crying, trying to get their dress level down to where they feel like me. And it's just a crying shame that the girls in the church feel that way, when even the men in the world understand how things should be. The media is absolutely horrible to make girls feel this way. They put out all these naked, provocative pictures of women, and girls get that same envious feeling inside where they feel like they so badly need to compete. They want to be beautiful like that girl. They want to, you know, look that good. One thing that I don't think girls understand is in Solomon 4:12, he speaks of his spouse. And I think this is so incredible. He says, "A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed." And if you read that and look into it, there's a lot packed into that little verse there. A girl is not supposed to expose her garden and let her spring flow and her fountain bubble for any man. It's supposed to be enclosed inside for her husband. Though I think that those things that he's talking about there, you know, would be her body, her soul, her inward beauty. Not only are we not supposed to give men, allow them to see our bodies as such, but we also ought to be closed enough from our inside soul that it takes depth of a relationship in order to pull that out. Because in order for you to ever get married, you need to get close enough to a guy to allow these insides to come out. Okay? And girls who are loose and who are willing to dress loose, as the guys call them, easy targets, they also have this thing about them that guys can sense. I call it a vibe. A guy can sense when a girl has strong walls around her and he is not going to get through. He can also sense when there is a girl who is loose and she's going to tell him her whole heart and she's going to give him everything that she has and everything she is and totally open herself up in a very dangerous way to whatever man is willing to give it to her. Which, this would be the opposite of how we are addressed in the New Testament to be modest and chaste. This would be exactly the opposite of acting that way. We're allowing ourselves to... I don't know how to describe this, but I can sense it in girls sometimes. You know, now that I've been married and Timothy has pointed out different girls to me, and after watching them and getting to know them some, a guy being with a girl for a few minutes can sense whether she has her walls up around her or whether her garden is free for everybody to see. Usually if her garden is free for everybody to see, her insides are also going to be free and open and easy to get. Any guy can come up and grab her emotions and take them and do whatever he pleases with them. And make her think he likes her, or get her, just get her all wound up in himself so that he can have her physically. Even for marriage sometimes. And girls get trapped in this and don't understand that the men are after them only because they allow themselves to, in the first place, dress down, and secondly, they allow themselves to spill everything emotionally to the man so that they became attached. And didn't know it wasn't love, but just found something that helped their hurt inside. I'm so sorry that I am kind of feel like I'm stuttering, not going very smooth here. But something that Christian girls do sometimes when they realize, okay, well, those jeans, pretty much, like the guys on the internet said, that you could just take a bottle of spray paint and just spray paint from your waist down and you would be just as good. Right? I mean, that's how they feel. They feel like you're showing them everything you have to show. Pretty much, if they see you in a pair of tight jeans, you wouldn't mind them seeing you without them on. So some girls say, okay, well then, and I understand that. I understand I shouldn't wear, you know, a t-shirt that's tight and clingy and allows the man to see the shape of my body. So I'm doing pretty good. I have a button-up shirt on. And it's loose, and it's buttoned up. I mean, nobody can see anything they shouldn't see. And something that girls don't realize is the fact of it just, there's a whole pile of different things that girls don't realize. Number one, if you bent over with your shirt down this low, what's going to happen? Somebody tell me. And they'll see all the way down. And if you wear a shirt that is unbuttoned to here and you put a camisole or something that comes up here to cover it, the same thing's going to happen. So I came up with this little illustration here that I want to show you guys what a guy feels when he sees a girl with a low neckline. Okay, maybe you can't see what girls call is indecent, but you can see the chest as a teaser for them to think more thoughts and so on. And I want to try to help you girls understand how a guy feels about that. If he sees a girl with a low neckline, even if, you know, if there's a low shirt, you can't see anything here, but you need to test your shirts. Go stand in front of a mirror and bend over like this and look and see how far you can see. That's what I would use as a test for my shirts. Look down, make sure you can't see anything. Make sure that if you have something underneath, it's tight enough so that if you bend over, you can't see anything. If you bend over in the back, are you going to show off a strip of bare skin that could tantalize or tempt a man? When you lift up your arms, are you going to show the inside of your shirt? I mean, are you going to show the inside of your, the inside of your shirt, your underarm, your bra, whatever might be in there? Any of these kinds of things to a guy are extremely tantalizing. As I have talked to many different men, they say it's worse for a girl to be half-dressed than to be in a bikini. If you see a girl in a bikini, you're going to look away, feel uncomfortable being in her presence or talking to her. If you see a girl that's trying to dress modestly, but trying to walk the line, anyone who tries to walk the line is sometimes going to fall over, okay? So if you have a shirt on with a questionable neckline, why would you ever give there to be a chance or an opportunity for a man to have to see? As my husband says, no man wants to see down a woman's shirt. But when a woman wears her neckline low and bends over and a man happens to see, he didn't want to see that and he didn't want to have to think in his mind, no, that's not for me. You know, guys are very attracted to girls and you probably never will understand it quite until you get married how strong that attraction is. But so you girls need to take the guy's advice of how to dress modestly. Some men are much more drawn to legs, some men to the butt, some men to the chest. So why on earth would you take the chance of tempting any man. Why wouldn't you dress so as to draw the line strong and hard everywhere so that any man whose heart is in the proper place is not going to be tempted? I mean, there are men all over, and it's very unfortunate, that will lust after any woman they see. And that's not our own problem. If we dress so as to not cause our brother to stumble, then it's not going to be on us in the judgment day. In the judgment day, if we dress so as to possibly tempt a man, whether or not, you know, if we think it, if we know better and we dress in a way that we know might tempt a man on judgment day, that's going to be on our shoulders, the fact that our brother stumbled. And it's a very serious thing when you stop and think about it. Like I said, in order to, for you girls to understand this and to feel not like you have to dress horribly ugly, or not like you have to be in this box, or like you could never dress good enough and so on, you have to realize that God tells us that in order to please Him, we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And we also have to believe that everything is for our own good. The scripture slips my mind that I was going to quote here. So these things that God requires of us, we're in, I haven't even turned to any of the passages yet. I think I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Let's see. I have these verses memorized, except that I get so discombobulated that they kind of are slipping my mind. I guess the point I'm trying to get across is, if we are wanting to follow God and do what God wants us to do, we're going to read the Bible and we're going to do what the Bible says, regardless of how we feel about it. We're not going to care if we look big and baggy and yucky. If we're pleasing God, that's the only thing that matters to us. The fact that the scripture specifically tells girls to dress modestly is all that we need to dress modestly. And every girl says, well, that definition depends on each individual person. I mean, what is modest? And the Bible tells us to dress modestly specifically for the men, so that they won't have to be tempted or stumble. And I still have not found my verse here that I was looking for. Anyways, okay. And you know men, strong attraction to women. Let that be an encouragement to you. The fact that God made all women beautiful. And they are beautiful. And He made a girl to be happy with one man, not with all the men looking at them and lusting after them and wanting them. He made a girl so that her desire would be towards her husband. I really want to take a break and go get my clothes on, so I'll be back in just a minute. So anyways, I think I had been trying to help you guys understand what modesty is. And the fact that in the New Testament, the Bible tells the older women to teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Okay, so obviously the Titus here was telling us that the older women are going to know better than the younger women. So there's one of your first ways to find out what modesty is that you should go to an older woman and ask her advice. A married woman is going to have had a husband, generally, and is going to know from a man's standpoint, what men think are immodest, which is what we should be looking at, because, again, it's for the men that we're supposed to dress modestly. And you can look at yourself and say, well, I just don't get it. I'm ugly, so I don't have to hold the standards high. Or my body doesn't look good, so I don't have to hold the standards high. And no guy's ever going to look at me. But then it's not the truth. God made everything beautiful in his time. That means that every single girl on the face of the earth, he made beautiful and to be beautiful and to want to be loved and to be loved. And there's just no getting around the commandment of God telling women to dress modestly. And as hard as we try, we can wiggle and squirm and try to get out from under it and say, well, I go skiing, or I go biking, or I do this, or I do that, and so I have to wear clothes that don't meet the standard of what men generally would consider modest. And to that I have to say, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, or love not the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Those things are of this world, and if you have to compromise a standard to do them, then the thing is wrong. I think that's something where Christians often fail. They think that in order to, whatever it might be that they want to do, in order to marry this guy, they have to do what he says. And so he tells them that they have to dress this way. Again, the Bible tells us to be modest, not to... So therefore, there would be one perfect example why not to marry the guy. I guess is what I'm saying. If he tells you, when we get married, I want you to dress this way and this way. If anybody ever, ever tells or asks of you to do something that's against the Bible, and you can't do it without compromising on some point, that thing is wrong. The only example that comes to my mind at all right now is going to school. You want to go so badly that you're willing to give up whatever it might be, even if it's the creation story in the Bible, you're willing to give it up because you have to go to school. Anyway, sometimes I think that us girls don't realize the strength that we have in us in order to make a man fall. How powerful a girl is to a guy. My husband has said a couple different things I was going to tell you girls. One was, he said, if you're not for sale, please take the for sale sign down, which means if a guy sees a girl undressed, if he sees a girl with a low neckline, to any man, she's asking, please look, please look. If a guy sees a girl dressed in tight clothes, conforming clothes, automatically, to a guy, he thinks she's asking for a physical relationship. And a guy has to say in his mind, she's not. It's not really what she wants, but that's the message you're giving. That's the message that God meant for a woman's body to give a man. She's supposed to be giving it to her husband only, though. Another thing that he told me last Sunday, he said, I think I found a way to cure the girls from our church in loosening their standards on modesty and stuff. And so he said, I think when a girl comes into church and she's not properly dressed, he said, I'm going to send you to ask them to come sit up front. And he said, well, line up any of the girls who are not dressed modestly, and I will turn and say, these girls came to church with something to show. So they're going to sit up here to show everybody what they brought to church to show. And he said, I think they would all immediately quickly change their dress standards. But he was trying to get the point across that girls don't understand the message they're giving out when they dress to show. I don't want to sit here and lay out all sorts of principles and stuff. As far as, you know, you should wear this and you shouldn't wear that and you should wear this and you shouldn't wear that. I think most people, if they talk to their husbands or if they talk to older Christian lady that has biblical standards and understanding, that you can get a pretty good idea of what modesty is. I mean, pretty much if you use the common sense that God gave you, and somebody has helped you to understand what a man is and what he feels and what he thinks, it shouldn't be too hard, as long as your heart is surrendered to God, to dress in a decent way. So anyways, the dress is just one of the aspects that I was covering, and I never got to my illustration here yet as to what you girls do to a man when you wear a low neckline. You might think you can't see anything, you know, what's the point? Or if you show off a strip of your back when you bend over, or if you wear a skirt so that when you sit down and cross your legs or pick a child up onto your lap, you can see, he can see your thighs. You shouldn't be walking a line that would allow those things to happen. No guy, there doesn't ever have to be one of those accidents if you hold the standard high enough. So to you girls, what do you think when you see this picture? What do you want to do? I'm going to show it to everybody, and then I want, when I go up front, I want each one of you to tell me what you thought when you saw it. Everybody read it? Did you get it, Benny? Did you read it? And you guys? Did Angie see it? Did anybody not get to read what it said? Did you? Okay, now I'm going to go around the room. I'm going to ask each one of you girls what you thought of this picture. What did it make you think, Harmony? What did it make you think?
Either show your face or go home and get some
sleep. What about you, Abby?
I didn't think anything.
What about you? Nothing?
No.
What about you? What was that?
I'm leaving.
What about, you guys can just keep going around the room. Tell me if you thought anything, what you thought.
I should definitely
know
that
would
not make
you
guys, like, sick. What about you? No, I can't think. Just the eyes. Okay.
Just the picture made me want to see a smile.
Mm-hmm. It's like he could be handsome. Yeah.
What about you, Alice?
Oh, I guess I don't have any comment. Okay. I didn't get to read it all.
Oh. Well, you have to finish reading. But Melody, what did you think? What about you? Mary?
I didn't read it, but I didn't think anything was right.
Well,
if I read the sign, then I
think
bad things.
What about you two?
What would I be in the world if you might not even need to? You have to be careful of guys like that.
Okay.
I think his eyes are kind of scary.
Okay, and so my illustration here is that this is what you guys do to the men when you wear a shirt with a neck to here, or to here. They go, let me see your face. If you're going to tease me, let me see it. Or they're going to think, sick, get lost, yuck, get out of here. Because they're going to get the message, the same message that you got by this paper, by seeing a girl without a proper neckline. That's the message that you give, whether you know it, even if you don't mean to be giving it, even if you're totally innocent. That's just how men are, and that's the message they're going to take from it. Mind you, I'm speaking to girls today, and there's a whole other side to men that my husband covered about maybe 2 years ago to men on his series of lust, the fact that he believes a man ought to be able to be in a room full of practically naked women and be able to keep himself if his heart is right. But God warns men against the power of women in the Bible, and he would never do such a thing because, it would be very stupid, because you're giving a chance for the lust to fulfill the flesh, for the lust of the flesh to fulfill itself. I can't remember how the verse exactly says it. But anyways, so he wouldn't put himself in that circumstance, but he himself thinks that, through the washing of the word and by reading it and getting closer to God, that today he can walk around and talk to a girl that's not properly dressed and not feel any of those feelings or have to fight with them as such, because he's overcome that. But not all men are there. He's married and he's satisfied. And obviously the Bible warns against the fact that there's a danger there. And that's why we're supposed to dress modestly. But I hope you guys, next time you go put your shirt on, that you look in a mirror and you think about this picture and ask yourself, what message am I giving to the man? Am I begging him to look farther? Am I teasing him? Am I giving him the idea that I'm willing to show my chest to entice him to see the rest? But anyways, again, remember I'm talking to girls, and I know that there are a lot of wrong men out there, and I'm not going to speak anything about them today, and that's a subject for the men. Right now we're just dealing with girls and with the issue from a girl's standpoint. Not only your dress, but your body language says a ton also. And I think most girls understand that. I don't need to go into great detail. My husband says that a guy can tell, usually within being in a room with a girl for more than 2 or 3 minutes, can understand what she's feeling and if she's after a guy and so on by her body language. He's observed tons of girls. He lived with his sisters for many years. He works, at the store with a ton of different customers and women and stuff. And so anyways, those are things to be careful of, because those walls that I was talking about earlier are supposed to be around you and keep those kind of things hidden and closed inside for your husband. And loose girls who just let them out, let everybody see and know what they're thinking and what they're feeling. Okay, now our actions with men, how a girl should act. In Titus chapter 2, verse 5, it tells us to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. So there again, we're taught to be discreet in how we act in our body language or in how we act to men. Are we obnoxious to men? I'm just applying this to men right now, but it applies to the whole sphere of life. In talking about the way girls dressed, my husband says a girl who's compromising and dressing down, wanting a man, when the right kind of man comes along, he's going to overlook her and mark her off his list if she's one of those compromised girls that her dress isn't what it should be. If he sees her dress what it isn't supposed to be for a Christian girl, he's going to say, okay, she's gone off my list, and he's not going to think about it. So the kind of husband you're going to attract is going to be the wrong kind. If you're discreet, you dress modestly, a man then has to get to know you better to find out if he wants to marry you, because he's going for the inside. He's not going by what you look like on the outside. and he's going to find out who you really are and what you are before you get married so that he doesn't have any surprises. We're to be chaste, we're to be keepers at home, and we're to be good. Keepers at home is another thing that I have to think of. When I was growing up, there was a guy that a couple of my sisters were flipped over and liked. Thought he was really cute and they loved him. And I always have to think about keepers at home when I think about this incident, because at the time I was dating Timothy, and I remember that any possible chance they got to go to town, they wanted to go to see if they could see this guy. And they would go sit at the store for hours, and perchance he possibly would come by and they could see him. Or go to somebody's house where they thought he might possibly be coming to see him. And instead of staying home and teaching themselves to cook and to clean and reading their Bible and getting closer to God and making themselves prepared for a husband, they went out and I guess they did the works of the flesh. They did what they wanted. And they weren't keepers at home. They didn't obey this verse. So then it gave them a harder time later on in life when they had to learn these things because they didn't know them. When they did get married, then they had to try to learn these things then when they should have known them, when they were being busybodies running around trying to put themselves in front of this guy so he would see them, that they never got. there's nothing in the world that is going to make a guy, feel yucky about a girl than a girl chasing him. It totally turns a guy off. If you're not staying at home and you're chasing him around and you're not being discreet or chaste. another thing that in Galatians 5 that I wanted to talk about, one of the things I wanted to address was lust and what lust really was. This is something that was just astounding to me when recently, in the last couple of years, in studying the Bible and studying human nature, I realized the truth of this. And we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 3. Verse 16. First of all, lust is simply an old word for desire. And so when we think of lust, generally people think of a man wanting a woman. But if you look it up in the dictionary, lust simply means desire. So in Matthew, I don't remember where it is. Let's see. Matthew 5:28, when Jesus was talking about the man that looks on a woman, if he look on her and lusteth, he hath committed adultery in his heart already. Okay. So we generally think of a man when we think of lusting, and we think of a man wanting a woman. But in reality, lust simply means to desire. Okay, so we're going to read Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So God created men and women. He created the woman's desire to be to her husband. Okay, notice it does not say her desire shall be to men, her desire shall be to boys, her desire shall be to a man. It says her desire shall be to her husband. And so when girls think about lust, desire, they think about the men. And I don't think that this is something that Christian girls understand very well, is the fact that for a girl to desire a man is just as lustful as it is for a man to desire a woman when he sees her undressed. A woman's desires are totally different than a man's, whereas a woman desires a man to hold her, to cuddle her, to be her comforter, to wipe away her tears, to talk to her, and so on. So just as it is wrong for a man to lust after any woman that is not his wife, that is not his, that he is not committed to, and want her physically or want her emotionally, just as it is lust for a man. It's just as sinful lust for a girl to sit and do that with a man, to sit and get so emotionally attached to a man that I've seen so many girls get so hurt over this. And I think if we could understand it, it would be a breakthrough for some girls. Once you're attached, it's very hard to let go. But needs to come immediately when you first feel those feelings. Wow, he's beautiful, he's handsome, he's masculine. And you need it in your mind, just like a man has to put out of his mind the picture of the naked woman he saw. You need to put the picture of that man out of your mind, unless he's yours. It's just as wrong for you to sit and dream of a man that is not your husband as it is for that man to dream about your body. And I want you girls to stop and think about the struggle that a girl has sometimes in that, because we so desire a man, and I think oftentimes don't realize the seriousness of the sin of allowing yourself to emotionally be attached to a man that is not yours. The lust that's involved in it that we're forbidden. In Galatians 5, it talks about lust as being one of the works of the flesh. So for us to desire something that is not ours, even if it's rightful desires, it's right if there's a single man and it's rightful for you to desire to be married and rightful for you to desire to have a friend and a comforter and so on, it's wrong for you to desire that man if he's not yours. And I think if girls could grasp that, they could allow themselves to be free from so much hurt. Because the moment it enters your head, you have to put it out. And don't allow yourself to dwell on it. Don't allow yourself to think about it. Don't allow yourself to... I mean, just like murders happen oftentimes. They say first they happen emotionally. I mean, when somebody goes and bombs a place, or when somebody goes and kills a whole bunch of people, oftentimes they've played video games, they've pretended to shoot people, they've pretended to do all these things. And so then when the time comes, when there's an opportunity to do it in real life, it's very easy because you've already been pretending and pretending. So when you've already been pretending this relationship with this man in your mind and he comes along, it's very easy to be overbearing with him, to be taken by him if you shouldn't be married to him, if you've already allowed yourself to emotionally get attached to him and you don't know this guy and he comes after you, you're already going to be so emotionally taken that you're not going to be able to stand up for the word of God and say, I can't marry him because he's not a Christian. I can't marry him because he's not living right. He doesn't have the standards of the Bible as he ought to have. And you put yourself in a very weak place. Anyways, for all of us girls, that desire to be held and to be loved and to be wanted that God gave us and that we're supposed to have towards our husbands, it's a God-given desire. That desire is just as strong in a girl as it is for a man's desire to have a physical relationship with a woman. Just as hard as it is for you to resist thinking or feeling thoughts about a man wanting him, I mean, wanting to be held, wanting to be cuddled, wanting his love. Just as hard as it is for you to do that, that's how hard it is for men to resist looking at a woman who's not properly dressed. And I think if we can understand from that perspective of how hard it is for us not to lust after the things that we shouldn't have, it'll make us have an easier time to dress appropriately so as not to cause the men to lust after us. I don't know if it makes any sense to you guys, but I don't know. It's just a huge war that goes inside of every single human being, the fight between the spirit and the flesh. It's real. It's there. You do, in your own eyes, in the eyes of other people, look better and more appealing and more hot in tight and fitted clothes, it's a reality. You do, and you cannot get away from that fact. But I don't want to lie to you guys and say, well, you look so much better in clothes and dresses and stuff, because I personally think you do. I think you're much more attractive in modest clothing. You're very much more becoming, feminine, ladylike. But that's not the point. The point is that God told us to dress modestly. He told us to deny the me in us, because the me in us that we want to come out and want to portray and show to everybody is exactly what the flesh is, and that's what we're supposed to be crucifying. It's just, what other message are you trying to get across to the world when you wear tight pants? Girls say, I have to wear pants for this, or I like to wear pants for this. It's fine, but why don't you wear a pair that fit you loosely and are modest, rather than a pair that are form-fitting and you can see the perfect shape of your behind and your legs, and so on. The same thing with a tight skirt. A skirt necessarily isn't always better. So you can't think pants versus dress necessarily, but you can think of what you're showing off. What are you advertising? What point do you want to get across to a guy? You know, what for sale signs do you want on your body? That's a decision you have to make. I mean, what are low necklines for? What are short skirts for? Are you trying to make sure the guys get a chance to see you? Are you advertising that, yeah, I'm loose, I'm free, you know, come and get me? Or do you have those walls up that Solomon is talking about that is a garden enclosed, something that's there for your husband? Anyways, remember, in the end, fashion's not going to matter. It won't matter if you looked thin. It won't matter if people saw your form or not. In heaven, you're going to have a beautiful body, or maybe not a body at all, I guess. I don't know, a glorified body, I guess. And it's going to be the best that there is, and there's not going to be any envying. There's not going to be any fighting. No girls are going to be jealous of each other and comparing and trying to outdo the other one or feeling bad because their body isn't as good as the other person's. God made every person different, and he made every guy different just as much as he made every girl different, so that there is a guy to love every single girl. We don't need to fight or compete or try to get the guy's attention. As my husband always says, the most becoming thing about a girl is her meek and quiet spirit, just like the New Testament says. That is the most beautiful adornment a girl can give, is to be free in herself as far as free of those thoughts. Am I impressing the guys? Am I looking good enough to them? Am I going to get the attention I want? But to be free and say, I'm here to serve God, and I don't care what the rest of the world sees me as or thinks of me, I'm going to serve God. To a man, it's the most beautiful thing. He can feel comfortable walking up to her talking and doesn't have to feel uncomfortable like she's advertising her body to him and not be quite sure how to respond to her because of how she's dressed. That can make for very uncomfortable situations for Christian men, because that's the message you give, whether you're trying to or not, that you want him, and he doesn't always quite know how to respond to that. I guess that's really all I have to say. I want to pray and then sing a song if you guys are willing.